Lakeside Diner on Thursday, November 21st from 4:30 to 7:30 for a night of fun. Enjoy some classic board games like Scrabble, Battleship, Monopoly, and Clue, and then head on off to the game room for some retro runs and over 30 different Nintendo NES games. The fun won't stop there with cards, dominoes, and even an outdoor space with yard Jenga. Wrangle the family, grab some friends, and get ready for an evening of games galore.
Club Fitness has something for everybody this fall. Join in November for just $1. That's right. Four quarters get you started on your fitness journey today. Sweater season's now sweating season with free group classes, free kids club, 24-hour access, and 23 locations. Lift local at Club Fitness this November for just $1. To learn more or sign up online, visit clubfitness.us. Club Fitness, the right fit for everybody. Some restrictions apply. See club for details.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. I love mom and apple pie and the freedoms that we all enjoy across this beautiful land. I work hard and I fight hard for the old red, white, and blue, and I'll die a whole lot harder if it comes to where I have to. I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. And when I see old glory waving, I think of all the brave men who have fought and died for what is right and wrong. And when I see old glory burn, my blood begins to churn, and I could do some fighting of my own. I don't believe in violence, I'm a God-fearing man, but I'd stand up for my country just as long as I could stand. Cause I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. Patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. And I enjoy the liberty of being what I want to be and achieving any goal that I can. I was taught to turn the other cheek, but Teddy used to say, walk soft and pack a big stick, but never walk away. And I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man. And when I see old glory waving, I think of all the brave men that have fought and died for what is right and wrong. And when I see old glory burn, my blood begins to churn, and I could do some fighting of my own. Cause I love all my brothers and we're proud of our birth. We've got the greatest country here on God's green earth. And I'm a flag-waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough-riding, fighting Yankee man.
The late, great Johnny Cash, super patriot. That's what Johnny Cash was. Welcome. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're doing the opening. I almost forgot we have an opening.
Leave your worries on the doorstep.
Well, that's all right. We'll let Willie do his thing.
Just direct your feet.
You're right, Limey. I forgot we actually have a real show to do. I get carried away on Veterans Day.
Can't you hear?
More people should.
And that happy tune is yours.
Another patriot, Willie Nelson.
Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blue.
On this Veterans Day. See, I just rewrote it.
But I'm not afraid. This rover.
Oh, what you want to know about is sexual intercourse.
Crossed over.
Like, I know how to get more of it.
Who was that?
That was the guy that owns the station.
Oh.
Yeah. He's always concerned about the wants and the needs of, you know, people who work here.
Yeah, that's, well, why big party. That's why he threw a big party for Jim Hewer's 50th birthday today.
Yeah. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that recording was not supposed to be aired. That was him talking to Jim, asking Jim if what he wanted was sexual intercourse for his birthday.
Oh,
and that was supposed to be private. My goodness. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Happy Veterans Day. I was trying to decide if you can say Happy Veterans Day, and I think you can. I'll tell you why. We should be happy to live here, and we should be happy to have people who are willing to go and do what some people don't want to do and not always have been willing to do. So it is Veterans Day. We welcome you on this, the 11th of November, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
There are a lot of people, especially people, I'd say, under 50, who don't know the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. That is exactly when... Armistice Day, the end of World War II. So that's why it's on November 11th. And I think saying Happy Veterans Day is certainly okay. What's going to happen here today is what happens every time we do this. And it's just we kind of fly by the seat of our pants and go along as you listen to us decide what we want to do. And the sad thing is that it goes by too quickly, and there are a lot of things that I'd like to say, and I'd like to let other people say, but there's just not enough time to get everybody and everything in here. So I'm going to start here. My wife and I were in a big box store yesterday, and there was a man walking toward me with a cap. It said Vietnam veteran, and I just stopped right in front of him, and I pointed to his cap, and I said, "Thank you," and he nodded and walked away. And I've decided that I'm going to ask for something I've not ever heard anybody else ask for. I've asked for people to say, hey, if you see a veteran or you know a veteran, be sure to thank them. But here's something I'd like to ask of the veterans. And I don't know that anybody's ever done this, but I think we should. Here's what I'm going to ask you. If you are a Vietnam veteran or one of the few remaining World War II veterans or a Korean veteran or whatever, or Iraq, Afghanistan, get a cap. Wear a cap. Get a T-shirt that says, we'll just use, for example, Vietnam veteran. And I'll tell you why I say that. Otherwise, we don't know who you are. Now, before your reaction is, well, I don't want attention, and I don't want to be thanked, and I don't need to be, do it for us. Do it for us so that we know who to thank. So if you are, and I'm gonna zero in on Vietnam veterans, because those are the people who were treated like garbage when they came back, and they're finally getting their due. So let's say you're a Vietnam veteran, and you've never owned a cap that says Vietnam veteran. Get one. You go online and get one. If you're in as dire straits and can't afford a cap, we'll find a way. We'll buy you a cap. We'll figure it out. But don't think of it as, oh, I'm putting a spotlight on myself. Look at me. Look what I did. Think of it as giving us at least a chance to thank you. Because if we don't know who you are, we can't thank you. So do us a favor. Be proud of what you did and get a cap or T-shirt that says Vietnam veterans so that I can and everybody else can thank you, too. There it is. That's the request I've never heard anybody ask, but I'm going to ask it. And I know that I'm asking it of people who are modest and people who don't want praise or attention or glory. Do it anyway. Do this last thing for us. You've already done enough. And one other thing, and then we'll get started here. The hero thing. I heard it again yesterday, or saw it as part of a story on television, that all veterans are heroes. No, they're not. Major Nadal Hassan is a veteran. He's not a hero. He killed 13 soldiers at Fort Hood. So he's a veteran. He's not a hero. The guy who was in basic training with me, who went out behind the barracks and chopped off his trigger fingers so he wouldn't have to go to Vietnam, he's not a hero, but he's a veteran. So all veterans are not heroes. There are thousands of veterans who are not heroes. Some of them are cowards. But if you served, and you served honorably, and you didn't chop off a finger, and you didn't kill other souls, I mean, you may not be a hero, but you are still a veteran. And to the guy who called last week, and it still bugs me, he called me, he said, Frank, you know that you're actually a Vietnam veteran. I'm going to disagree with that. I don't know where he read that or saw that. I don't think that, if that is right, that needs to be changed, that technically I'm a Vietnam. I didn't go to Vietnam. I was in during the Vietnam War, but man, I am not a Vietnam veteran. And I didn't want to argue with the guy because he was trying to be nice on the air, but it's bothered me ever since it happened last week that I should be thought of by, I would never wear a cap that says Vietnam veteran. I'd be afraid somebody would stop me and go, I was in Da Nang. Where were you? I go, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. What? Not a Vietnam veteran. So, business as usual, but not really, because I made a short list of the things I want to try to get in here today. Some of it may cut into Josh Bauman's time in his tech segment next hour, but so be it. It's once a year we have Veterans Day. I really want to work in more than the name on the wall. And you may say, well, that's more of a Memorial Day thing. No, it's not. I'll tell you why. All those names on the wall, those people are veterans, but the people who walk up to the wall, in many cases, are living veterans. They served alongside those 53,000 people who died in Vietnam. I want to play Driving with Private Malone because I think it's powerful. Some gave all gave some. Billy Ray Cyrus. And I'm going to close the show today with, I won't tell you what it is. You'll just hear it at the very end of the show. I called Mike Evans and I said, I'm going to scoot you 4 minutes and 17 seconds earlier than normal. And I'm going to give you your 1 minute, Mr. Evans, 4 minutes and 17 seconds before we normally do, because I want to play a song at the end of the show that is not on any list of great veteran songs, but it should be, because it's both a holiday song, but it was turned into what I think is one of the most powerful I'm sorry. Tim, I just saw your text here because you want to talk to me out loud about it on the air. 11th hour, 11th day of 11th month. Yeah, signal the end of World War One, not World War Two. I misspoke there. Okay. So you can stop texting, folks. You're right. I just misspoke. I'm going to get ahead of myself a lot of time today because a lot of things I'd like to say, and I'll kind of trip all over myself. That's what happens when you don't map out and plan a show, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So we will close the show. The last 4 minutes and 17 seconds, just before the Randy Newman regular closing theme, will be a song that I'm going to ask you to stay with it and listen to it. Some of you have heard it before. Some of you may not. And when you hear it, you go, oh, it's a Christmas song. No, just please stay with it and listen to the whole thing. And before we get to another one of the songs we want to play, we can have a Burke segment. I won't do all the talking. I'll do most of it because I can't help it, because I'm. This is a big day. It's a big deal to me. And as I've gotten older, it's become a bigger and bigger deal. When you're young, and I said this last week, you don't really pay any attention or care. Yeah, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, no big deal. If you have a dad who was in the service like mine was, you don't learn anything from him probably, because he never told you anything. I wish my dad had educated me and shared with me stuff. And one last thing. My wife and I went to see Midway over the weekend. In fact, we saw it, I believe, yesterday. And when we came out, she asked me a great question. She says, do you think that today, if we had a need like we had in World War II for able-bodied men and women to just in droves go sign up, they dropped everything to go sign, do you think that would happen today? And I said, no, I didn't have to think about it. No, it wouldn't happen. And I'll tell you why. There's a different mindset with a lot of the younger people today. They're not as patriotic. That's not all of them. But for the most part, they're not as patriotic. In fact, here's the sad thing. In fact, it's considered to be, in some circles, a bad thing to be patriotic. In fact, there was somebody wrote an article about Midway, some idiot, who said that it glamorized war, and war was bad, and the movies like Midway, what? It's a history lesson. But that's the thinking of some, mainly younger people, that if you do stand up for the flag, if you act too patriotic, not only is it corny, but it's wrong because you're in some way saying that you support everything that's going on in this country. No, you're not. You're not supporting everything. You're not supporting racism or hate, or you're supporting the flag in the country. It's still the United States of America, and the flag still represents what is, to anybody who knows anything, still the greatest place you can live in the world. That's it. And the day that we stop looking at the flag that way, and the day we start saying, oh, don't put that flag up, you don't do that, it'll send the wrong message. What wrong message? That you love the United States of America? What's the matter with these people? So yeah, Burke segment, quickly are part of it, and then we'll play another thing, one of the usual suspects we play on this day. Does anybody have anything to say?
Sure.
Oh, that was.
I would go. I do too.
That was very reluctant.
Well, it's hard because what I have to say is funny and frankly.
Well, that's okay. It's a Burke segment.
You got a very serious tone off to the start of the show, so I'm kind of.
Reluctant. And do you not think I should do that?
It's not at all what I said, sir. It's just it's sometimes. Oh. I don't know.
But we're switching gears. This is the Burke segment. All right. We'll go back and forth. What do you got?
All right. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
You didn't introduce me, Frank.
Oh, Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Welcome.
Limey, you're going to like this. Frank, do you know who Michael Vick is?
Michael Vick was the guy who liked to put dogs in the arena to fight a football player.
Michael Vick was a star quarterback in the National Football League in the late 2000s and was a star quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons and went to prison for over 2 years for being convicted of running a dogfighting ring, and then actually came back and played in the NFL after that. He stayed in such great shape in prison that he actually came back to the NFL after that. Well, he wore uniform number 7 for the Atlanta Falcons, and at the time, it was one of the most popular jerseys in the National Football League. Well, I'm watching the Falcons game yesterday against the New Orleans Saints, and the Falcons have gone through about 4 different kickers this year. Guys keep missing field goals, they get fired, and you know they bring in a new guy. So they bring in this kicker named Eugene Koo, who spells his last name K-O-O, and he kicked for the Chargers a couple years ago. And they said on the air yesterday, when he kicked off, that he is the first Falcon to wear uniform, to be assigned and to wear uniform number 7 since Michael Vick 10 years ago.
Is that because others refuse to wear it?
It's because of the
stigma.
Well, it's because of the stigma, but it's also because of another reason, which is what I'm about to tell you. There's a website called what's the name of it? It's a Matt Bauman is the guy who writes for Mother Jones is the website.
Right.
And this guy, so when Eugene Koo got signed to play for the Falcons last week, they assigned him number 7. Now, Michael Vick, before he went to prison, and he started the NFL in 2005, before he went to prison, he apparently contracted a massive, horrible case of herpes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And And what he did was he went and checked into some type of medical clinic because apparently he had to have some type of surgical procedure done as opposed to what the normal treatment. I mean, he had to actually, like, check into a place and have some work done. His herpes was that bad. And TMZ or somebody found out about it. And when they dug into the story, they found out that Michael Vick, to try and mask his name being associated, because there's not a lot of people named Michael Vick, obviously, in America, and to mask his association with this clinic and why he was there, he checked in under the name of Ron Mexico.
Ron Mexico.
That doesn't sound phony at all.
Yeah, no one would look twice at that. So yeah. What happened was all these ridiculous football fans across, and Michael Vick's jersey was one of the top-selling jerseys in the NFL. These fans all got on NFLShop.com, and they started ordering Atlanta Falcons jerseys, and you can, you know, put whatever number you want. You can put your own last name on it. You can put your favorite player's last name on it. You can do whatever you want with it. It's your purchase. You can put your name, your number, anybody else's name, number, whatever. So people started ordering Ron Mexico 7 Falcons jerseys on NFLShop.com.
Perfect.
And one guy even ordered a herpes number 7 jersey for the Atlanta Falcons and wore it to the game. And these fans all started showing up to Falcons games wearing Ron Mexico jerseys and herpes jerseys. And the Falcons banned the jerseys from their games. And then the NFL banned the sale of the jerseys on their website. They said we'll no longer sell this jersey on the site.
Oh! The NFL is okay with guys kicking their wives when they're on the floor and drug abuse, but they don't want anybody having fun with a dog killer.
So this guy, this Mother Jones editor, Nick Bauman, when he saw this, he wanted to see if the NFL still had a ban, because there was a story that came out a couple years ago that the NFL changed jersey vendors. Like, you know, when you go online to buy a jersey, they change the vendors. So sure enough, he goes online, and I guess the new vendor didn't get the notice that Mexico jerseys were banned, or Ron Mexico jerseys were banned. And so he bought and ordered like 3 of them, and then wore one to work the next day and wore it on the air. Well, now the NFL, this story leaked out to the NFL. And so now, do you know who Anthony Weiner is?
Oh, sure.
Anthony Weiner was a congressman from New York who...
One of the greatest documentaries ever called Simply Weiner. If you haven't seen it, folks, oh man, it's the best.
So this is almost over. He had to resign from Congress because he sent a picture of his package out off Twitter to some gal while he was married. Right. It was a big scandal. And so he resigned from Congress as a result of that. Then he runs for mayor, loses. Then he sends another picture of his package to some minor... And went to federal prison for 21 months, and he just got released earlier this year. Well, his name on these dating websites that he was meeting these minors and sending pictures of these
drugs. Don't tell me it was Ron Mexico.
No, it was better. It was better. Anthony Weiner, who looks like a Weiner, I might add. He's like tall, long.
Let me guess. You know, Anthony Johnson.
Nope.
Anthony Peters. Anthony Dick.
Not even close. His name on these dating websites was Carlos Danger. So now the same guy at Mother Jones who just got these Michael Vick jerseys, a Patriots jersey, an Eagles jersey, so now he's on the website and saying that he's going to try and order Carlos Danger jerseys for Giants and Jets fans, and the NFL just banned that too.
Who's the NFL to be the judge and jury of this stuff? I don't get
that. I guess they have an image to protect, Frank.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
And I just thought, I wonder what's going through. And they asked this kicker, this Eugene Koo, they asked him, well, what do you think about being the first guy to wear number 7 since Michael Vick? And he's like, you know, basically, hey, it's my first day here. They gave it to me, and I'm not going to, you know, say anything. I'm trying to make the team. I'm not going to raise a stink my first day here. So he had to have the indignity, if you will, of being the first Falcon player to wear number 7 since Michael Vick wore that 10 years ago. And now, as a result of this guy online, the NFL has rebanned Ron Mexico and Carlos Danger jerseys. So if you're aiming the PM and you're hoping to get a Ron Mexico jersey for Christmas, it's not going to happen.
How does the Carlos Danger thing have anything to do with them and them banning it? It's not a football thing.
I know. It's just a disgrace. You know, I mean, these are two people who went to federal prison and were given nicknames, one being a pedophile, one being a dog fighter, with a sexually transmitted disease, and I guess they just didn't want to associate themselves with that.
9 out of 10 people wouldn't even know what Carlos Danger was. In fact, I'd heard it, but dude, you just did it. I forgot all about that.
It wasn't in the documentary?
No, I think it is, yeah.
Carlos
but that,
Danger.
Folks, that, since he mentioned it, that, you, look, if you find a time where there's nothing to watch, nothing to do, go watch this Wiener documentary. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely, when you watch this, when it's over, you're going to say, I just watched a documentary on the guy who's the greatest laughing stock of anybody I've ever seen in my life. And the name is perfect for that guy.
Well, the reason I told these stories is because I knew you were going to have theme this show with a Veterans Day theme, and there is a 85-year-old hockey announcer named Don Cherry, who's like this loud, ridiculous guy. He wears these John Daly kind of suits. He tries to outdress himself every show. He's extremely, he used to coach in the NHL. He got fired by TSN, the network that airs Hockey Night in Canada, because he made comments about Canadians not showing their patriotism during a national broadcast Saturday evening, and they fired him for doing that. And here's the exact comment he made. I want to get your take on. I know you're probably not a big Don Cherry, or you maybe know who he is. But here's what he said. This is the most popular hockey announcer in the history of the country of Canada, who got fired yesterday or today for saying the following. Don Cherry's rant on immigrants as follows. You people love our way of life, love our milk and honey. At least you could pay a couple of bucks for poppies or something like that. These guys paid for your way of life that you enjoy in Canada. End quote. He got
fired. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, he got fired for taking a shot at people who aren't showing their pride for Veterans Day by wearing a pin that a lot of Canadians are wearing on their lapel. I guess that's a Canadian thing.
So now in the world, Canada, U.S., it's okay to call people out who are too patriotic, but you can't say things to people who aren't patriotic enough. It doesn't make any sense. I think what he said was fine. You don't have to take his advice. It's just his feelings, his thoughts.
I mean, this is a guy who said that women shouldn't be allowed in men's locker rooms a couple years ago. They didn't fire him for that. I mean, this is a guy who said really outrageous things on TV over the course of time, but that touched a chord that got him fired. And Dan and I both know who he is because we're both huge hockey fans. And we were talking about it before the show. We were just blown away that this guy would get fired for saying that.
Crazy. No, it's the way of the world. Anything else?
Correct.
Anything else from Tim? No, anybody else, Burke?
I do. I have something.
Dan Strauss, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much.
Look at that wall.
Thank you so much.
I really like you today.
The other night, I was at band practice, and we practiced in Wildwood. At,
what band? Whose band? Who's band
Seventh Planet Band is what I'm in.
It's our band.
Yeah, I'm in the band. What? I play bass in the band. And we had some practice going over some stuff. And when I come home, I drive down Old Baldwin Road, and they have several stoplights. And usually it's later at night, and the lights are always green, always coming through. The other night, the last stoplight in this string of row of lights turns red for no reason at all.
What?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Uh-oh.
It turns red for no reason at all. You know how when somebody will pull up to the stoplight and then all of a sudden, boom, it changes. But there's no one around, nothing. I'm talking to my girlfriend Sandy on the phone while I'm driving, and I just said, look at this. I said, the stoplight, it just turned red for no reason at all. And she says...
No, wait, you were in the car with her?
I was on the phone with her.
How could you say, look at that?
Driving.
She can't
Well,
see
I
it.
Don't know. I said, the stoplight. I'm at the stoplight now, and it just changed red.
No, not did she yet. Say that's a not great yet. Story?
No, she didn't. She
said, figure limey.
She says, well, I bet it's for a deer to cross so you wouldn't have hit the deer. And I said, oh, yeah, he walked up and he pushed the button to go on the crosswalk. And as soon as the light turned red, about 50 feet ahead, there was a deer that was just crossing the road and on the other side. If the light would have been green, I would have hit this deer.
So she was right.
Yeah.
And you thought it was just a dumb blonde coming.
No, I thought it was. No, I thought, wow, that is weird. I said, there's a deer crossing the road. And she's like, you're kidding me, right? And so it was like a premonition or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Pay attention to her. She sees things.
No
kidding. Like that kid that said, I see dead people.
Yeah.
She sees stuff.
And Dan probably won't want me to say this, but off the air, he said that was the first time Sandy was right about anything in about 7 years.
Oh,
I wouldn't have shared that. I would never share that.
I was, wow, that was another part of it. That was what was really incredulous about that story. Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
No, well, she knows better than that. Besides that, we haven't been together for 7 years.
Oh. Okay. Did you have anything else?
No, that was it.
Do you have anything? Hold on. We do have what?
We have a couple of calls. We have a Vietnam veteran.
I'll be happy to take him. Let's just see if we need to close. Limey, you got nothing? We'll close it out. Burke segment's officially closed. Here are our numbers, 855-282. These are the numbers you'll need for Josh Bauman, I might add. The tech segment coming up after the news at 4. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Tim is on the phone. Tim, thank you for holding. Thank you for what you did for this country, and welcome to 590 The Fan.
Thank you, Frank. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Frank, I wear my Vietnam veteran hat proudly. I served in the Army in Da Nang in 1971 and 1972. I didn't talk about my service much early on, but the older I get, the more I do participate in ceremonies, and I think about this great country that we live in, and I'm certainly proud to have served. I wanted to say, Frank, just give a shout out to all those places today that were giving out free meals. I went to Applebee's in Baldwin, and at 11 o'clock when they opened those doors, there was a line of vets that were waiting to get in there. And that's a great thing that they do, and I just wanted to thank them very much.
Well, the sad thing is that there's a line waiting to get in there, because I'm sure some of them could actually use that help financially, somebody else picking up the tab. And that's a sad state of affairs in itself, because I don't think that much of a line of people for a free meal would be made up of people who are, you know, financially well off and doing really well in business. Would you agree?
I would agree, yes.
And that's sad that there'd be any line at all. For people who can really use, that's. Thanks for wearing that cap, hopefully,
Frank, Frank, one more thing. You were talking about the Vietnam vet you saw yesterday that you said thank you to. Believe me, we Vietnam vets really appreciate people saying that. But one thing I think that we appreciate more than that is for people to say welcome home, because that the Vietnam vet is something special. And it's meaningful for us because we didn't get that welcome home back in the day. But to hear it now, it sounds good every time I hear it.
Can I tell you something? You're the first person that's ever said that or suggested that. And unless you are 14 years old and you have no idea why somebody would say welcome home to somebody who's been home for 40 years, I think that's a great idea. Because the guy you're saying it to or the woman you're saying it to, they'll know what it is. Don't know what you mean. Now, that's a great suggestion. Thank you for that.
And thank you for your show, Frank. I enjoy it every year.
All right, Tim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Brian. Is this our Brian?
John is next, actually.
No.
Oh, I'm
go
sorry. John is next. No, go. Hold on. He said John is next. You said go to Brian.
Yeah, go to Brian.
Sorry, okay. John. They're being rude.
Is no. Brian with no.
Why? It's no, John. It's our normal John, and so he can go...
Oh, right.
Folks, okay. I'm sorry you had to. Sorry you had to be a part of this. This is everybody. Awkward. This is awkward. It is awkward. John. In fact, it's so awkward. Edit it out, Limey. This is a special Veterans Day show. I don't want this to be on the show. Edit that out.
Gotcha.
Radio edit.
Okay, we're going to Brian now. Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you, Brian? Okay, I guess we are going to go to John. Let's go to John. John, wait, welcome hello? To 5.
No. There
Brian's
he is.
There.
Brian, you there, mate.
Brian, what happened? Where were you?
I thought you went to John.
I went to the John.
I'm getting a headache. No, Brian, we're with you. How are you?
He thought you went to John.
Thank you for that.
I'm going to the John.
Dan, please. What's up, Brian?
I had just two comments. Number one, when you were talking about the caps, my wife and I, we always make it a point anytime we see someone with a cap of any war, anybody that's ever been in the service, we always make a point, no matter where we're at, to walk up and shake their hands and say thank you. And they always say, you're welcome, and I'd do it again. They always say that same thing, that they would do it again. That always just floors me, that they're, you know, they're just real humble about it, and just, and they appreciate you coming up and saying, you know, tell them thank you. And the other thing is, I've never been out of the country, but I know around, if you drive around anywhere, backcountry roads, in my neighborhood alone, it, to get to my house, back to the subdivision, it takes about four blocks to get to my house. And mm-hmm. one day I just counted the American flags on homes in my subdivision in those four blocks, and it was 12 American flags on people's homes.
When was this?
This is like recently. It's good. All the time. And good. I've had four homes in the last 40 years, and I've always flown a flag on my home. And you drive around, you'll see flags on barns, on silos, on people's cars. And I just wonder, you know, are people around the in other countries around the world, are they as proud as we are of our country that they have flags in their homes and on their cars and on their barns? And you see them everywhere. Every has every shape and size of flags on different things. And it really makes me smile when I see that.
I think there are countries that have lots of flags and emblems and pictures of their leaders up because they're forced to. I believe there are countries where, like Chairman Mao years ago, you know, his picture was everywhere, he walked in a building. That's different than displaying it voluntarily. And I'm glad you saw that. I don't tend to see nearly enough of that.
Didn't your wife, didn't you just go shopping for a flag, Frank?
No, made by the Annan Company, flag maker since early 1800s, yes.
Out of curiosity, how big a one did you get and how much was it? I've never had a flag. I've considered to put one on my house. That's
she bought it, and I don't know what it cost because she went and got it. I put it up. I would say it is, hold on here, from the blue field of flags out to the end, I'm going to say... 4 or 5 feet. Wow. It's a pretty good size flag. Yeah. That's 4 or 5 feet. And a nice aluminum pole. And proud to have it up there. The rules have changed. Hey, I'm not going to keep. Brian, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, the rules have changed a little bit for flags. And look, not everybody can know all the rules and regulations. Like I read one thing where it said the flag should not be in the rain unless it's a certain size. Well, if you leave your flag up in front of your house on the rain, it's not the end of the world. I don't think anybody is going to chastise you for that. There will be people who will chastise you for putting up the flag. There are people that'll do that. Screw those people. It's America, and if you want to put it up, you should be able to put it up. Can we do another one of our songs? I'd like to do
one
more here. Well, I think I'd like to do More Than a Name on the Wall, simply because, and before you play it, let me just set it up real quickly for people. We play it every year. The Vietnam Wall, if you've never seen it, if you get a chance to see it or see one of the couple of, some are traveling, there's one in Perryville, some are smaller, scaled down, you know, not the actual size. There is at least one that is, but the real one is in Washington. And here's what happens when you go there. I went to Washington once, and I didn't like it. I couldn't stand it. My wife wanted to go and take the kids, but there were a couple of things there that I'm really glad we did. One was the changing of the guard at Arlington and Kennedy's grave, National Archives. And the other was the Vietnam Wall. And when you go, you're going to see a lot of people my age, a lot of baby boomers. They lost a brother, a sister, maybe even a wife. But... Or a high school buddy that they went to school with. So when they go, it's the most, one of the most powerful things, because you will see people drop to their knees at that wall. You'll see them lay down in front of the wall, a watch or a dog tags or something that is personal that they're leaving there as sort of their way of paying homage to this person that they knew or fought alongside of. So a lot of people at that wall are looking for the name of the person that they may have fought beside. And we'll play it, and then I'll tell you a really interesting story of a guy that my son encountered at his restaurant. And to his credit, in his 30s, they always make special offers for veterans when they come in to eat. And he takes the time when he can to sit. And he talked to a guy, I guess it was yesterday or this morning. I don't remember. I just talked to him this morning about it. And the guy told him something that he went through in Vietnam that is so horrible. And I'll share it with you because it's another way of trying to tell you that we can't eat, no matter how hard we try to imagine what some of these people saw or went through. We won't. You know, the closest you can come is some realistic movie like Saving Private Ryan or even Midway. So this is the story of the wall and a mother who walks up to the wall. She lost her son in the wall. It's by the Statler Brothers. You country music haters, sorry, but the truth is most of the patriotic stuff is done. Not all of it, but by country artists. So fire it up, Limey. It's more than a name on the wall. The Statler Brothers.
I saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out a pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven, the words she said were these. She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him just one more time, you see, all I have are the memories and the moments to recall. Died for God and country in a place so far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me." She said, "Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And though I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall.
To not be able to play that song without crying, and I can play it now, and I don't do that anymore. I don't think the audience wants to hear that, and I've just found a way to not let myself put myself in that place mentally of the parent who lost a child. I hate war. I don't like anything about it, but it will always be necessary, and here's why. There will always be greed. There will always be people who want what somebody else has. They want power. They want to control you. They want your land, they want your resources, and you have to protect that stuff and not let them take it over. And that really is, simply put, why there is war. My son talked to a guy either yesterday or today who was a Vietnam veteran. I guess he had the cap on, so my son went over and sat with him about half an hour and talked to him. And he told him the story of having to kill one of his buddies in the military. And before your reaction is, what? That has happened more times than you can imagine. And I guess the question to everybody here in the room, and I know my answer is, if you're in battle and you look over and you see someone who has become like a brother to you, and his intestines are out of his body, and he is in horrible pain. He's not going to live. There's no way. And he looks up and begs you to put him out of his misery. Limey, would you do it?
Yeah.
You hesitated, but that's okay. Would you do it, Dan?
Yes.
Tim, could you do it?
I think so.
I know so. I know. That's not murder. That is the compassionate, merciful thing to do. But how do you ever get that out of your head? How do you wrestle with what you did? Even though you know it wasn't really wrong, and you'd want somebody to have done that for you. But that's the kind of stuff that these people, many of them, had to face. They had to walk up on, stare at, maybe even photograph, if you were a photographer in the service, the blown up bodies of kids. And because I don't know much about Vietnam, but not only Vietnam and other countries, especially over here in Afghanistan, Iraq, and these places, these monsters will put explosive vests on their kids and send their kids out into the street, thinking, well, the American's not going to kill a little kid walking across the streets. We'll just send the kid over and then blow him up or her up, and we'll kill some American. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing in North and South Vietnam with, you know, you don't know one from the other. They North Vietnamese come over and act like they're South, when they're really not South Vietnamese. Boom, next thing you know. I can't imagine how confusing and disorienting and just absolutely horrible that was. I try to take the little bit of experience I had, and it is so little, and convert it into what other people went through. For example, basic training, Fort Jackson, January, February, it's cold, standing in line waiting for the payphone because there were no cell phones. Imagine trying to at least just check in and talk with your family back here when you're 4,000 miles away, waiting for a phone, waiting for any kind of signal or the radio or whatever you can get on. Wow. I guess if there's any reason to be glad that I did the little that I did, is I get a tiny, tiny dose of what it's like to be detached and away from, in my case, my wife, who had only been married to 7 months, waiting for my chance at a phone, and people behind you going, come on, man, hurry up, hurry up. You've been on the phone too long. I need to call my girlfriend. So I think it's good to try to think about what that would have been like and put yourself in it. And watch as many of these great movies as you can, like Midway or Saving Private Ryan. You can get at least a little feel for what they went through. Okay, enough for now. I got a little business. First Community Credit Union has an offer that goes to the end of the year, and they do this every year. If you will take your auto loan and move it over to First Community Credit Union, they'll give you at least $100. At least $100. No strings, no fine print. That's it. In an account, your name, $100. There's probably going to be a bonus. There's a very good chance your bonus would be that you've also lowered your car payment, because their rates are very competitive. And a lot of people find when they move it, oops, my goodness, not only did I get the $100, but my car payment went down. So think about that, but don't think about it for too long, because it's over at the end of the year, and it is the reason every year that a lot of people become members of First Community Credit Union, because they get a little taste of what it's like to bank there with the car loan, and they decide, let's do everything there. Home loan, small business. You got a small business? They love small businesses. Love to be your small business partner. It is a great place to bank. It's First Community Credit Union, over 40 locations. And you can find out more at firstcommunity.com. We'll do a little bit more. We're not going to, you know... I always wonder, at what point do you have people go, okay, enough of the veterans things? Once a year, folks. Once a year. We'll do a little more next hour, and we will get in your calls to Josh Bauman and his information that he has to share with us today. It's 4 o'clock on Veterans Day at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. A federal judge is tossing out President Trump's lawsuit trying to block the House Ways and Means Committee from acquiring his tax returns. The judge ruled that the Washington, D.C. court does not have jurisdiction over either New York defendant. Trump had sued.